Yesterday, upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there.
Hello? Can you find me?
He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away.
I'm behind you. I am right behind you.
Last night I saw upon the stair a little man who wasn't there.
Don't be scared. I just want to play a game with you.
He wasn't there again today. Oh, I wish he'd go away.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Paranormal Whispers, a Through the Abyss podcast production. I'm your co-host, Mandy, and tonight, unfortunately, Ben still has COVID, so he is in bed, hopefully resting, but we're hoping he'll be back next week for our next interview. But tonight, I'm fortunate to be with Josh from Deadlight. How are you doing tonight, Josh?
Oh, good, good. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm excited. I've been looking at your products and everything that you customize. They're so cool. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Well, as far as Deadlight goes, I basically build infrared lights for night vision cameras for filming in the dark. The infrared lights are, that's most of what I do. A lot of the times people want the infrared, but I also offer like white UV, full spectrum. Those are the most popular, but mostly IR.
I worked with some people from Haunted Discoveries a few weeks ago, and they had a couple of his lights, and let me tell you, I feel like I could have picked it up and thrown it against the wall and nothing would have happened to it. These are hardcore, really, really nice lights. It's incredible what you're able to do with them.
Yep. Those are those that, that they use, that Haunted Discoveries uses. They're a smaller light, but it's still the Necro model, and all the Necro models are all handmade. They're all built from scratch. The only thing that's 3D printed on those is the battery compartment and the battery lid. I forgot to set it out. I have it here. Let me grab it real quick.
Okay. These things are flawless. I mean, I've looked hard at them to try to find something, and there's nothing. I can't find anything wrong.
Well, they do have flaws. They're because they're handmade, but they I try to my standards are high. So if I'm not happy with something, then I will either fix it or start over. I had a custom light, and it was something simple. It was still black like the normal ones are, but they wanted their team name and part of their logo on the light, and something that I've done before. And I had to do it a little bit different because part of the word was one color, and part of the word was the other, or the rest of the word was the other, was another color. So I had to paint one color, lay down some vinyl, paint the other color, lay down the rest of the vinyl, and then spray it. Well, the rubber coating that I put on the Necros was a little thick. And when I started to peel the vinyl, and I should have known this ahead of time, but I did it anyway. I tried it anyway just to see, and it didn't work. So I had to start all over, and I had a deadline on that light. So I had to work pretty fast to get back to the point where I was with the other housing, but I was able to get it and it come out looking really nice. So, and a customer was happy with it, but there have been times where, but not many, where I've messed up during the process and had to stop, fix it, and then continue on. But I kind of get into a groove, and I'm drilling holes, and then I drill a hole that's the wrong size, and at that point you're kind of stuck. So you kind of gotta fix it and keep on going. But all the necros start out as one of these. This is just
Oh my gosh.
a
Really?
dome PVC cap. Yep, they all
Wow.
start out like that. So I would sand the top, mark out all my lines where the LEDs are going and everything like that. And I cut it down and run it on a belt sander to square it up. And then I use eighth inch ABS plastic for the top and the bottom of the light and also the lid on the back. And epoxy all that together. And once that's dry, then I shape it with on the belt sander again. And then I start marking out the holes for vents and for the quarter 20 adapters and the LEDs and the magnets and everything like that. And
Wow.
those are all hand drilled and everything. So
I mean, I'm lucky. You actually sent me a few pictures, and for the podcast people, the one I'm looking at right now is solid green. Well, kind of like a military style green, I
Yeah,
guess,
that was
maybe.
for a military veteran. He had that was his first one, and he wanted it in olive drab green. And I did the olive drab green, and I did another one for him that was like a desert tan color. And that
Okay.
one there, he wanted it the front toward enemy. That's what's on the front of a Claymore mine. So he
Oh.
wanted that on there. So
Oh, that's so cool.
I put that on there, and then I put his logo on the battery lid on the back.
Yeah, it looks really, really amazing. I mean, it's like I said, it looks flawless, and there's 12 LED lights. And I've actually, when I was with Honda Discoveries, I was, looking at it through their camera, and it actually does provide quite a good distance of extra IR light when you're filming, which is fantastic if you know anything about, night shot cameras and
And the Necros are a curved face, so it gives you a nice wide array, and then it has a
yes.
magnetic diffuser that goes on the front, and that takes out any of your hot spots and smooths all of the light out. And
Oh,
those
wow.
as of right now, all the Necro diffusers, those are all handmade as well.
Oh man. And the one I'm looking at right now is awesome. I mean,
That
you're really good at this. I mean, it's got like black and white and blue, but it's like got the marble, I guess, swirl to it. I don't even know how to describe
Well,
it.
that process there is called hydro dipping. So
Okay.
I hydro dip the light. It's basically how others do it is there's a like a film that they lay on top of water, and they would spray an activator on it, and then they would slowly dip that into the water, and the film adheres to the object that they're dipping into the water. And then once you get it down past the surface, you kind of move the rest of the film, the excess film, out of the way, and then you can pull it up out of the water. Well, this process is basically spray paint, and it's on top of
Oh.
water. And you would never think spray paint and water,
Wow.
but the spray paint lays right on top of the water. The different colors don't mix together. They just lay right beside each other.
That is so
And
cool.
I just spray it on top of the water, and once I get enough on there that I like, then I start to dunk the light housing down into the water. So same process. It's just using spray paint instead of a film. And what's cool about this is I could use the same colors over and over, and you're never going to get the same exact light again. So it's like a one-off design, and even I don't know what it's going to look like whenever until I pull it out of the water. So
That is amazing.
that was the first one I did right there, the orange and the gray and the white.
So
And
cool looking.
I had a customer that wanted an orange light because there was orange in their logo, and I told them I've been wanting to try this method, and he told me to go ahead. I had him pick three colors. He picked three colors, and that's how it turned out. And
Man.
I put in the ones that are a different color. Some of them I've sprayed that are a different, a solid color. I still put the rubber coating on, but it's a clear rubber coating. So that has a clear rubber coating on the outside of them.
They're so awesome. And I'll actually put these pictures up on our website so people can see them as well.
Oh,
I
awesome.
like this one. Well, I'm not sure which branch is that.
It's Marines. That was
Okay.
a Marine veteran that came to me, and he wanted the blue with the blood red stripe through the center. And then I, during that process, I thought maybe I could make the Marine emblem and put it on the battery cover.
I was going to say, because
And I
it's 3D
just,
printer, right? Because it looks like it's raised.
yes,
Okay.
it is 3D printed. I
Oh, cool.
was able to find some, it's called gold silk filament,
Oh.
and I got the logo, the file online, and test printed some of it, some of them, and got the right size and everything. And I changed around the vents on the battery lid and changed them over to stars and put that on there like that. So
It's God, it's so it blows my mind the way what you're capable of doing. I love this red and black one.
that's another Hydra dip.
This
That was
God,
for
that's
another
so cool.
veteran. He wanted the red and black. Some you can pick with the Hydra Dip feature. You can either pick two or three colors, and he picked two, and it come out really good. I was really happy with that one.
Yeah, it's these I'm so amazed. I can't remember what the Haunted Discoveries guys look like, but I just remember it being big and sturdy looking and finding a lot of extra IR light, which is
It was
fantastic.
a they have 220-watt lights, so
Okay.
it's just one row of LEDs.
Oh,
That's
okay.
the 20-watt Necro. And the
No.
one, the orange one that you showed there, that one is that one's a 40-watt.
Okay.
And the other ones that you showed are the military one, that's a 60-watt. So that's three rows of
So they
LEDs. And
had the
those are
lowest one, and I mean it. I was amazed by how much light it put out. I really was. It's incredible.
That was this. That's the smallest Necro. It's not the smallest light. The smallest light I have is a 10-watt Demon, and
Oh.
it's just two LEDs. And that one is the only light that I have, production wise. The one, the only one that I offer so far that is everything is 3D printed on it. It's hand
Oh.
assembled, and I still spray it, with the rubber coating and everything. And but that's still, it's still a, I guess you could say it's handmade, but it's not made from scratch or anything. It's designed and 3D printed.
How long do your custom jobs typically take?
I it depends. It depends on my, my work schedule. I'm scheduled, I work full time, but there's always it's kind of unpredictable. So there's times I work overtime, and there's times I have other things going on. This was
Sure.
just kind of like a hobby at first. I was always tinkering with things, and I started talking to the right people, and they felt that, that I should, make them and sell them. So
Yeah.
when I had a podcast years ago, and one of the guests on there, Justin Brown, he had his own group. He was a guest on my show, and we just kind of kept in touch after he was on the show, and we became friends. I ended up being he had this camera that had a really wide angle lens on it, and there wasn't a light that he tried that could fill the whole view of
Yeah.
it. So I was already tinkering with some lights, and I had sent him some to try, and even those were they did better, but they weren't they still weren't filling the whole view with light. So that's how we came up with the design of the Necro, which is
Wow.
the curved face light. And I still have the first one. The first one was for him. He was using it, and then he wanted a different one, so I built that one, I ended up getting the first one back. But I told him since he helped with the design that he could name it, and he named it the Necro. So
Oh.
that's where the Necro came from. And he also helped with the of course the Deadlight logo, and even the name Deadlight. Deadlight came from Pennywise's original form is called the Deadlight.
Oh, I didn't know that.
From the movie It.
Oh,
Yep.
I hate
And
that
that's
clown. Yeah, that
and
clown's the
that's
reason I'm
where
afraid of clowns now, actually. The original, not the new one.
and that's where Deadlight came from. So that's
That is
how that
so
was named
cool.
and where the Necro came from.
Okay, what about you?
Yep.
You had the smaller one called the demon. Is that like
Yep.
DAE or just regular demon?
Just a regular demon. And
Okay.
I named it the demon because whenever you look at it in the dark, it looks like two red eyes.
Yeah.
So that's how the demon
Oh
came.
my gosh, I love it. And what do they typically run as far as price goes?
Well, the demon, there's two versions. There is the regular demon. It's a dual power. Most of the lights that I make are dual power, meaning you can either put batteries in the back of the light, or you can use the provided external battery holder that I send that comes with the light. I don't provide batteries, but I provide links for batteries that the
Okay.
batteries that I recommend, and also a charger.
Oh, cool.
But you can power it. You can put batteries in that external holder and power it externally instead of using batteries inside the light. So, two go in the back of the light, or four in the external holder. So,
Okay.
if a good example for using the external holder would be maybe you're setting that light up with a static camera. So you're going to let it run constantly throughout the
Right.
night. So you use four batteries. It lasts longer than obviously longer than the two. I typically don't use the external holders. My
Okay.
personal light, I just use the batteries in the back of the light. And typically whenever we investigate or film a documentary, then two batteries usually last me all night.
Yeah.
At some locations, it depends on how you adjust the light, because other than the demon, all the necros have an intensity adjustment on them, so you can adjust the
Oh,
intensity. So you can
nice.
adjust it to so if you are in a small room and you have it turned down, and you go into a larger area, you can always turn it up. And
That's
the
another
20
feature you're not going to get with other lights either, the adjustment.
Yeah, there is some do have the adjustment, but this one I feel that it has more control. You have more control with this adjustment, so you can turn it all the way down as far as it goes, and it won't shut off or anything like that. It just goes down the lowest setting, and of course you can turn it up, and you can gradually turn it, and it will, it will get brighter. The 40 watt, the Necro Night Shot, which is a 40 watt IR plus 15 watts of white, and the 60 watt, those you can actually turn LEDs off.
Oh, wow.
So if you're in a really small area, you can conserve on battery power by turning half of the LEDs off, and you still have the intensity adjustment. So the 40
Nice.
watt is 20 or 40 watt selectable. So it's 20 watts per row. So you can turn off one row of LEDs and then have the other row going. And the 60 watt, you can actually turn one row on, two rows, or all three, depending
Oh, cool.
on your surroundings. And then of course the intensity adjustment. The Necro Night Shot, you have the 20, 40 watt selectable with the IR, but you also have three LEDs in the middle, and you can either do 10 or 15 watts, depending on what buttons you push on the side of the light. So you can turn just one on. If you just need to see real quick, you could just reach up and hit a button, and turn one LED on, or you can turn two or all three. And that also has an intensity adjustment on it.
Oh, very cool.
But I can swap those white out. You can get, I've put UV in there. I've put full spectrum. So you can choose which one. But a lot of people like the white because they can use it as a video light
Yeah,
whenever
that's
they
actually
want.
kind of nice to have as well. And how much do they typically run?
All right. So like what I was saying with the demons, you have the regular demon, which is the dual power. It has the battery compartment on the back, or you can power it externally. And you have the slim demon, which is external power only, and it does not have the battery compartment on the back. So the slim demon is 90, The regular demon is 95, and those come with the same power cord and the same external battery holder that the necros come with. So they
Okay.
all run on the same power source. So if you have a necro and you have a demon, you can power it with the external holder. Yeah, the same that comes with the same ones. So there's
Oh, that's nice.
nothing, different about the power sources.
Okay.
The 20 watt, which is one, the 20 watt necro is like what you saw. That one is 135.
Not bad.
And then the 40 watt is 195. The night shot is 205, and the 60 watt is 215.
For custom jobs, it's really not that bad at all,
And most of the
especially for
custom
what you're
stuff,
getting.
and most of the custom orders that I get, there's only a few that I charge extra for. Like the Hydra Dip, I charge $20 for that. I have to buy extra paint. There's extra steps in the process,
Yeah.
so and that's still pretty cheap for the
Yeah.
process of, the prep and all that stuff. And I have to be with the Hydra Dipped ones and the custom color ones, and that I put that clear flex seal, or the flex seal, the rubber coating, what I put on the outside there. I have to be extra careful with those, because if I would gouge one or drop it, I mean, I've dropped a few, but it doesn't really mark them up. But if I would gouge it somehow, or do something to the finish, I can't touch it up like I can with the black ones, the
Yeah.
regular ones that I put the rubber coat, the black rubber coating on. So I have to be pretty careful with those whenever I'm, doing the assembly and things like that on them. So,
Right.
the other, so most of the time I have a bunch of colors. So most of the time I'm going to have a color that is needed for, if somebody wants a custom color, chances are I probably have it.
Oh, cool.
It's most of the popular ones are, like, I've done purple, there's lime green, I've done orange. Well, I did the orange one. I did like a navy blue. I haven't done a solid red one, but the most popular is usually red or the black, or
Yeah.
the Hydra Dip colors. But if I already have that, I don't. I mean, there is an extra step in doing that, doing something other than the black rubber coating, but I don't charge for that.
Oh, that's nice.
Like the when if I'm putting a logo on it or something like that, I mean, I don't charge extra for that either. I cut the
Nice.
vinyl out and put it on, just put it on the light. But it's not doesn't take that much extra time, and it kind of personalizes it for the customer. But if I get too far out of that, then I will typically charge for the extra customization.
Can't say that I blame you, because I'm sure they probably get some weird requests.
Not so far. I've had some logos that I can't do because they are too detailed. They have to be fairly simple. It can't have too much detail, because once you get really small and detailed, it's hard to weed that out once you've painted on it. And sometimes after you've painted over it and you try to weed it out, sometimes it will pull some of the paint off. So you have to be really careful. And I've done some pretty small stuff, but it can get very tedious.
I bet. How do people go? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the other feature that I charge extra for is called pathway lighting. So pathway lighting is two white LEDs that I install on the bottom of the light. There's two different sizes.
Oh.
There's a small and a large. But you turn them on. It's an extra switch that you turn those on, and it lights up the floor around you,
Oh.
so you can see where you're walking, but it doesn't mess up your view. It doesn't blind anybody. It's pointing straight down, so it doesn't affect anybody around you. The small isn't very bright, but when you are in complete darkness,
It will be,
it's just enough so that you can see around you. And then, of course, there's a large pathway, which will light up, the floor around you and more than likely around other people too that are around you. So it's pretty bright.
A great idea.
But it doesn't affect your view or your filming or anything like that. And that was actually a custom request from a customer a long time ago. They wanted to know if I could put two white LEDs on the bottom of the light. And so I did it, and theirs is a little different than the way I make them now, but it's still, the same concept. And I just decided to keep that, to keep that feature. So not all of the features that Deadlight has is, came from us. It was somebody coming and wanting a something custom done, and some of them I just decided to offer those, to others.
That's a great idea. I've never even thought about something like that. Now, how do people go about ordering these from you?
So I only have the Facebook page. I
Okay.
don't have the website, and since I get so busy, it's better that I don't have a website that you can order from, because I get to interact with every customer, and I can tell them up front how far behind I am. I can tell them, any kind of information that I need them to know up front, I can tell them right there. And it's nice because I get to interact with every single person that orders. And
Yeah,
if they
that's
have any
nice.
custom orders, so that you just message me, you message the Deadlight page, and it's usually me that answers.
Okay.
So then you can, if you have any questions, I can answer those right there. You can order right from there. You can ask about any kind of customization or anything like that, and you get the answer right away. It's not going through email coming back and forth. So, and typically it doesn't take me very long
Yeah.
to respond. Even if I'm at work, I can normally respond within a couple hours usually.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah, you were pretty quick to respond, actually. Since I reached out to you. Okay, so I love it when actual investigators come up with different things because you guys do this and you understand what we need and you understand the value of things like this. So it's fantastic that you're doing this. And like I said, your prices really are very reasonable for custom jobs like these. And the lights, like I said, are incredible. I mean, they're so sturdy. That's just what blows my mind, I think, the most. Because I mean, I think I spent $60 on one of those phantom light things and it's broke and I've only had it for a year, So it's, yeah. So yeah, that's definitely good prices for those, for what you get, especially.
And they're not the most expensive either. There is more expensive out there,
Oh, gosh, yeah.
but they're not the cheapest, but it is, all handmade.
But it's
And
good quality. That's why they should be a little bit more. Because I mean, I'm sure it takes you a little bit of time to make these, especially with a full-time job.
So I'm in and out of the shop, throughout the week. And then typically, if I have light orders that I'm already working on or already in the process of, I'm in the shop the whole weekend. I'll be out here all day, both days usually, and
Oh,
then
wow.
into the night. Sometimes, Friday night and Saturday night, there's times I'm out here till midnight, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, just,
Wow.
trying to get stuff done. But yeah, it takes up a most of my extra time outside of work. So, and we all have home projects and other things
Yeah.
to do, and sometimes we take trips and things like that. So,
Yes. And then there's the evidence review.
yeah, well, I haven't, I've kind of backed off of investigating. I've still gone to places and stuff, but I don't have the time to review anything really.
Yeah.
So anymore, it's like I go for the, to experience the location. I like photography, so I take a lot of pictures. I post those mostly on my Instagram. That has a lot of my photography on it.
Okay.
I am a licensed drone pilot, so I do a lot of drone work for our documentaries. I've done it for a couple others, and I do it at work, so I have that's only part of my job at work, but
Oh,
I
so
had to
you
get
have to have that license for it then.
Yeah,
Ugh.
and they paid for it. I didn't have to pay for it, so
Oh, nice.
so
Even better.
it's kind of nice. But I mean, most of the time, whenever I'm flying though, I'm flying recreationally. I'm not. I don't think I've ever had a other than work. I really haven't had a paid job. Flying. I just like to fly. So normally, if it's a friend or something like that, I'll throw it up in the air. It's nothing to, I'm already there. So, but that can be an expensive thing to hire somebody to, just come out and fly the drone. It can be really expensive with
I have
travel
my own.
expenses and,
It's
oh, do you have your own?
I do. Oh yeah, and
Are there?
I don't have the license because I don't we're not monetized yet, so I technically don't need it. So I'm gonna hold off as long as I can because I heard that was a pain in the ass.
It
I
can
heard that
be.
test is actually hard.
Yeah, they try to trick you. I took a course. The company paid for a course, and
Nice.
it was a video course, so it was nice to, I could go back and watch it, and they have a practice test and everything. So I go through the whole course and I take the practice test a bunch of times. I'm like, all right, I'm ready. I understand this stuff. And I get to the, you had to, you have to go to a test. Well, what I did, I had to go to a testing facility. They have all these cameras. You have to put all your belongings in this locking zipper bag. And they give you like this book, and they had a like pencil and calculator and like all this stuff. So I carry all this stuff in and I set it down and I start taking the test, and it's only 60 questions. So, and you only need, I think, a 70 or a 75 to pass. I think it's a 70.
Not too bad.
No, And so I'm going through the test and I'm getting questions, and like, this course never went over this stuff.
Oh,
And
God.
I'm starting to worry, and because you pay for the test, pass or fail. And at that point, I don't know what it is now, but when I took it, it was almost 2 years ago. It was $175.
That's about right.
So I get through it, and I'm like, I used the book, but I didn't use like the calculator and anything like that. So I was kind of, it's like I didn't feel that I needed to use any of that other stuff that they gave me. So I go out, and they hadn't told me my score yet. So I'm sitting there and everything, and I got an 88 on it. So,
Oh,
I guess I have some common sense. Some of
nice.
those questions, but because some of that stuff that, I mean, they never mentioned it in the course, but it used to have to renew. You had to take another test. You still have to renew every 2 years, but the test now is online, and they give you the courses right on the FAA website
Oh, cool.
that you need to take, and then you take the renewal test, online, right there online. So,
Oh, that's nice.
so the renewal shouldn't be. Shouldn't be too bad, but it's good to go back through and kind of refresh, because when you're flying recreationally, you can only fly in certain airspace, so you don't typically have to do some of the things as far as whenever you're licensed, you still have to. They teach you to. Get permission to fly, and if you're in restricted airspace or in a different class of airspace other than G, you
Mine
have
won't
to get
fly in restricted
permission.
airspace.
Oh, well, you have the geofencing. There's some of them out there that you can take off no matter what, but usually
Kind of wish mine was like that.
restricted is hard to get clearance. That would, obviously, you're not going to get. You're probably not going to get clearance if you're just flying recreationally. So, the other classes, as far as if you're closer to an airport, and there's different rules between the two, but
It's fun to do, and I'm gonna have to do it eventually when, podcast actually does get monetized. But for right now, I'm just enjoying not having to worry about
Yeah.
it.
Well, I use the apps too. I have a couple apps that I use, and either I'll put the address in before I go just to see, or when I get there. Typically, it's before, because they tell you to, if you have to get permission, they tell you that you should submit your application for approval or, you know, to fly 90 days in advance.
Gosh.
So I've only done it one time. I was in Cleveland and I had to do that. And that was back when you called the control tower.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Now you don't do that anymore. You do it on, you know, you do it online and, or on your, from your app, you can do it, but you don't call the control tower anymore. But I was flying recreationally and I'd never done it before. So I had called, you know, I called and said, hey, I'm going to be flying here. And he asked if I was doing it recreationally. And I told him I was, and he was nice, you know? So he said to call whenever I was done. And, you know,
were you
he
close
didn't
to
ask
the
me.
Airport or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, it was close to the Cleveland Airport.
That
were at
would make sense, yeah.
House of Wheels. I don't know if you ever heard of that place or not.
No, I haven't. Is that a haunted place?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an old like a funeral home. Very interesting. I didn't investigate there. I was just helping out with a documentary. So I was just flying. But I was inside and everything, but it was a pretty interesting location.
Very cool. Now, do you have your own paranormal team, or are you with a group?
I'm with Interface Death. That's Justin Brown's group, and we're kind of spread
hardcore
out.
Hardcore with your names.
Yeah, he was. I forget how long he had the group before I joined, but he was actually trying to start a heavy metal band.
Okay.
And it was going to be called Interface Death. And then
nice.
When that fell through and he started into the paranormal, he kept, you know, he kept the Interface Death part of
Why
it.
does
So.
That name sound familiar to me? Does he hang out with a guy named LA Beast that you know of?
I don't think so. That doesn't ring
I might
a
be
bell.
Thinking of somebody else then.
But we're all kind of spread out. He's in Ohio. A
oh,
couple
cool.
other members are in Indiana, and I'm in West Virginia.
West Virginia. You
Yep,
very close to Trans-Allegheny?
Yep, I'm about two and a half hours
Oh,
south
God, it's one of my
of
favorite
Trans-Allegheny.
places. I love that place.
Yep, I'm originally from Pennsylvania, so
Oh.
when I go home to in Pennsylvania, I drive past the exit every
Oh, do
time.
you?
So I drive past, I'm on the highway there that, you drive right past the exit that takes you to
Oh, God, I love that place.
the asylum. They have signs out on the highway. It says,
Yeah.
I think it says asylum tours. I think it's what it says, or haunt historic asylum tours or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Out
So
on the highway.
What are some of your favorite places to investigate?
Oh, that's a hard question because
I know.
I like each one for, you know, sometimes it can be similar reasons. Sometimes, you know, every place is different. So,
yeah.
But I like the old jails. I like
Yes.
Old Licking County Jail is one of my favorites. We were just there. What was it?
Last weekend, right?
Yeah, it was last weekend. And we were there for 2 nights. We weren't filming or anything. We did film, but we weren't filming like a documentary or anything. We had already
Yeah.
filmed one before. But a friend of ours in Delaware, he wanted to bring his, he was bringing his group, and he invited us, and we went up there. We always like to go to that jail, and we like the people that run it, and we're good friends with them. And
see, the same guys who run Randolph, right? Is that the same ones? No.
No. Let's see, Randolph County Infirmary.
Because he
that
has a
was
jail too, doesn't he?
Old Blackford County Jail
that's it.
Hartford City.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. We did a documentary on Hartford City.
Oh, cool.
And we actually did four locations right in that little town. It's
wow.
It's a really little town. But you have the Monroe House. You
yes,
have
love
you
that
can
place.
Old Blackford County Jail is only a block away. And when you
is it really?
Yeah, you can see it.
I
Like
didn't
if
even
you're
know
standing
that.
out in front of the Monroe House,
Yeah.
you can see the jail Right up, it's a block away. He can see it right up the
Man, I
road.
wish I would have known that when we were there. Damn.
And when you get to old Blackford County Jail, you also get the Irvin Campbell Speakeasy, which is a couple blocks away. And then Griffin's Blind Tiger, it was a bar.
I haven't even heard of that one.
So we investigated in there a little bit. So we did a documentary on all four of those places, and we were there, I think if we were there 3 nights or 2 nights and 3 days. I think it was 2 nights and 3 days because the one night I slept in Monroe House and the other night I slept in the jail, I believe. I believe that's the way it went, but it was a pretty big documentary, and we had a lot of footage. So we were switching back and forth. You know, Monroe House is really small, so we just had one crew go down there, but we could spread out throughout the town because it was, you know, a four different locations. So
That is
it was
so
pretty neat.
cool. Did you guys get any evidence from any of the places there?
Yeah, I mean, Moreau House had some things happen. I think it was on the second night, maybe even a little bit during the day. I slept fine. I slept up on the second floor in a cot,
I slept in the
and I
devil's
was.
box.
Oh,
Yeah, nothing happened while we were in
did
there the whole
you?
night. I
Yeah.
mean, while we were sleeping, we actually did have some good evidence, but
And the Irvin Campbell Speakeasy has always been quiet. I
really.
don't think we've ever gotten anything from there. But the jail, I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what went down there. But I'm sure we got maybe some EVPs or something like that. Nothing out of the ordinary or anything, but yeah, Old Lincoln County Jail. I did like Waverly. I liked experiencing it. It was quiet for me, but it's worth experiencing. I don't really have the desire to go back.
To Waverly or Lincoln
Yeah,
County.
I mean, I was there three times.
Yeah,
I mean, I always go back to Old Lincoln County Jail because, you know, we like the people that run it. It's just a cool place. But we were getting some shots for the new Deadlight promo at the jail. So we finished, you know, we finished getting everything that we needed for that. And Justin does all the editing. Like he does all the editing for Interface Death, all of our documentaries and everything. That's all his editing. And the I've had this is the this will be the second promo that we've had for Deadlight. The first one was in 2019, and he's done both of those.
Oh,
So
wow, that's
I'm not
great.
sure. I think it is done. I've already seen it. We just need to put it up on the Facebook page.
So with Interface Death, is it another Facebook page, or do you guys have YouTube or?
Yep, Interface Death has a YouTube page. We have the Facebook page, and we do live streams.
Oh,
I
cool.
think Justin and Derek handle all the live stream stuff. Sometimes they can stream on Facebook and YouTube. Sometimes they just do YouTube. It depends on what they set up, but yeah, they handle all that kind of stuff. Derek's the tech manager.
Always got to have one of
They're cool.
those.
Yeah.
Well, I
I mean,
will
I'm
put
pretty good with equipment and stuff too, but they have things that they put together that you know, I mean I can identify them, but to put them together I wouldn't know. I've never used them. So a lot of that stuff he'll either carry it around or we leave it stationary.
Now, what kind of equipment do you typically use?
We don't use a whole lot.
Yeah,
We
same.
mainly, using, I don't think we've ever caught anything on camera. So mostly the cameras is just
It's
kind of for
so
like
hard.
for validation, that kind of thing, cross-checking. Most of it's like EVPs, personal experiences, that kind of thing. We will use a millimeter. The SB11. We use that, but Justin uses that a little different. We don't normally scan. We usually put it on one station with the white noise and deactivate the antennas. But he also has a
Do you have
setup
better
where,
luck with that, doing it like that?
well, it's not, you don't have anything coming through. It's very rare. He's had some stuff come through, but it's not common at all. But he has a setup where he runs two channels on the SB11 into different channels on a recorder, a big recorder. So both
Really?
of them come in, yeah, both of them come into the recorder, and it's a pretty neat thing. And he has another thing that he runs too. It's called the MagCheck 95. It measures or picks up magnetic interference, and you can hear it in your headphones or hear it on the recorder whenever you play it back. Or if you're listening to it live, you can hear that magnetic interference too.
Oh,
But
wow.
stuff like that, it's not, we don't use like K2s. Sometimes we'll use, well, he has the mail meter with the RAM on it. But I've had a REM pod. It's up, I've had it up on the shelf for a long time. I haven't used it, but I do make some other pieces of equipment. We actually used one for the first time at the jail, and it was a customer of mine. He was at the jail, and I got it finished for that trip. But it's a I just call it a motion sensor string.
Oh,
But
okay.
it uses five, you have five motion sensors, and you have five LED strings. So you have your battery pack, it has a custom power cord, plugs into a sensor and into and the sensor plugs into an LED string, but you also have another plug to run power to the next sensor. So I don't know if you understand like series and parallel circuits or not,
No, not at
but
all.
if I would just plug them into each other the whole way down the line, basically in series, then you would have to activate the first one in order to activate the second one in order to activate the third one, and so on. So if I do it in parallel, I make my own wiring harness, and there's two plugs on each string. So one plug is going to go into a sensor, and then from the sensor to the LED string. But you have another plug that you plug into, that's your constant power, and that runs the whole way down to the end. So you have your constant power run through to each string. So any of those strings can be activated at any time. So, your middle one can come on without like your very first one, the ones before it coming on.
Oh,
And you
very
can
cool.
actually split that string up. If you have multiple battery packs, you can split that string up. You don't have to run all five in a line. You could run three over here, or two over here, or one over here. You can
Oh,
actually
wow.
split those up. You just have to have more battery packs to,
Are you
to
making
run
those for
those.
people yet?
I do. I have made, I made my first one like 2 years ago. A customer come to me, and he said, I haven't seen anything like this. I said, nobody. He said, I've contacted a couple of people, and they don't have anything like that. So he came to me and asked if I could make one. I figured up a design and made one and sent it to him, and he really liked it. It was exactly what he wanted. With all five sensors and strings put together, it's about 15 feet long.
Oh my gosh, wow. That's cool.
So you can extend down a hallway, or you
And
can put it in rooms. And but
that's awesome.
technically, if you leave it by itself and never touch it, go around it, anything like that, technically it should never turn on, because it's not going to sense any motion. And no, those sensors will work in the day or the night. It doesn't have to be dark,
Oh, very
so
cool.
it can happen anytime. But technically, if you leave it alone, if you leave it in a room or a hallway all by itself, it should never turn on. So that's the concept. So if you get something like that, so you have to use that piece of equipment with other pieces of equipment. So you need to have a camera on it. You need there's no sound or anything, but you need to have a camera on it, and you need to have some recorders set up there as well, or
Yeah.
you know, your millimeter or whatever, because just that light coming on to me isn't going to be good enough. I want an EVP of like some footsteps, or I want you know, something else happening at the same time that this is triggering this motion sensor.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And how much do those run usually?
Those are well, now those are 150, and those come with the battery
okay.
pack. So I get the battery pack. I provide that.
Oh, very nice. Very cool.
I have, what did I do with it? I think it's, I have a piece of it. I can grab it. It's right here.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
It's not completely done. It doesn't have the ends on it yet, but.
Oh, okay.
But this is what it looks like. So it's in the clear tubing.
Yeah.
So I buy the clear tubing and I buy the LED strings, and then
is it bending?
I fish
if
those
it's
through.
15 feet
Oh,
long?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
very
a,
cool.
it's a silicone tubing.
Oh, nice.
Just like you can buy them for like your room or whatever for outdoor stuff.
Yeah.
They'll have that silicone tubing that they run. I just buy it and I run it myself because I make my own wiring harnesses to run through there.
That's so cool.
But each
a
string's
a little gadget.
Mm-hmm. And I make something else. I don't have one with me because a group that I sponsor is using it, but it's a motion sensor panel. So it has, oh, four LED strings on it and
okay.
four motion sensors, but these motion sensors are close proximity, so that you have to be close to it. You have to be within, I think, 4 or 5 inches to activate it.
Oh, okay.
So you have to be really close, but it's a panel, and I, so you'll have like a sensor on this side and a string of LEDs, and then you'll have a sensor on this side. So it just kind of zigzags all the way down. So they're,
oh, cool.
All the sensors aren't all on one side, and any string can be activated at any time. But again, that's like the motion sensor string. You don't want to, you have to use other equipment with it. You have to use a camera and the recorders, that kind of thing.
Right.
But you have to be really close to activate. And technically, if you leave it by itself in a room, it should never, you know, it should never turn on.
So cool. I wish I could do stuff like that.
A lot of research.
Yeah. Well, and you know, talent.
A lot of testing.
Too.
Yeah. A lot of testing, a lot of, just trial and error. I've been in business now 5 years. And the Necro, it's changed some, but the basic design of the housing, it works so well.
Yeah.
I haven't changed it at all.
Well, it's like I said, I was very, very impressed with what I saw from it.
Thank
so
you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, Josh, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. And I'm gonna put all of your links as well as Interface Death links on this episode. But thank you so much for coming
awesome.
On and talk to me about this stuff. I love to hear about new inventions, and especially coming from an actual paranormal investigator, because you get it, you understand.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. I
you
appreciate
are
you
very
asking
welcome.
Me to come
and
on.
If you come up with anything else, just let me know and I'll bring you back on and we can chat about that too.
Sure.
I'm
Will
always
do.
Interested in new stuff.
Cool.
All right. Thanks so much, Josh.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Paranormal Whispers, a Through the Abyss podcast production.